about us tonight. Acts.
You got your mic on?
I do not. How's that? A little bit better? Okay. Why don't you look at verse 24 of chapter 11 first. Verse 24 of chapter 11. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith. He was full of the Holy Ghost. When Paul was brought before the church, the persecution was so great. We understand there that at this time, this is the time when the persecution had arisen in the church, but they had received the Holy Ghost. Later on, the scripture tells us that they were walking in the fear of the Lord, and he said, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Here, Barnabas is a good man. He's full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he's walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Tonight, I'm not going to preach Pentecostal or Baptist shout and run the aisles camp meeting doctrine. But I do want to preach tonight with the help of the Lord on the comfort of the Holy Ghost. He is the comforter. He comforts as only he can. And in that we see the church found some rest. People found rest in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. When you look at the life here of Barnabas, and you're looking at a man who loved the Lord, he was full of faith in the Holy Ghost. He was unshakable. He couldn't be moved. He could not be changed as he walked in that comfort. The Bible said of him that he was a good man, even. Now, I know there's a lot that would probably dispute that, but that's just the way people are today. But he was full of faith, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. I want to look at chapter 5. I'll look up some of these. We'll run through some of these quickly, and I'll give you some references, those of you that do take notes, to look at later. The first mention we see of the idea of comfort in the scripture. Genesis 5 and verse 29. The Bible simply says of Noah, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Noah was named Noah because of the comfort that he would bring. I'm not going to define comfort. I hope you'd understand. It's more than a comfort station, or it's more than a cold compress, although each of those would have their place. But I want to take a look through the scriptures just very quickly at some ideas and just some thoughts that the Lord has given me concerning comfort and what comfort is. And there's different areas of comfort. And the first I want to look at, and if you'll turn to Genesis 18 with me while we're in the book of Genesis, and just take one look, and then we'll look at a couple other passages just through mention. Genesis 18 and verse 5. The Lord has appeared to Abraham in his tent door, and then three men stand by him in verse 2, and of course they come to him. And in verse 4, a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And he said this, I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. So he gives instruction and he says, you know, we need a comforted heart. And he uses food to comfort their hearts. In the book of Judges, two different times in chapter 19, we see in that awful story of Judges 19, with the host of the house, the man of the house, makes the statement, he says, comfort ye your hearts with a morsel of food. The idea that we have today, of course, and the statement that's made is a biblical statement, but the term that is comfort food. I've seen restaurants that advertise comfort food. If I could just break that down to the basics of what comfort food is, it's meatloaf, it's mashed potatoes, it's hot rolls, it's gravy, lots of gravy, amen. It's those things that are familiar, it's those things that on a cold, blustery day like today that can not only warm your belly, but just can give you a little bit of comfort. And that's the idea, I believe, the scripture is talking about here, to comfort ye your heart. How many times are you downtrodden and maybe just feeling low or feeling blue and you're just maybe having a pity party? And, you know, there's nothing like a good meal sometimes just to comfort your heart. The very basic elements of comfort come from food. The Song of Solomon, and of course in chapter 2 and verse 5, and speaks of this. You don't have to turn there, but he simply says, comfort me with apples. Now, I promise you, I believe it's in the context of food there. I've never found comfort from being struck with a flying apple or a thrown apple. You know, literally, you say there's comfort that comes from apples. Now, we talked about comfort food. I save the best for last. If you can have comfort food, you're going to have apple pie. That's just the American way. That's the American dream. It is a comfort to us. My little girl is at the age that she just loves apple dough. And those of you that don't know her don't know what that is, but it's applesauce. It's the very base form of apples ground to a pulp, and she loves applesauce. Why? There's a comfort in that. So again, at this elementary level of comfort, we're satisfying us, we're satisfying our belly. And when you see that, by the way, in the scripture, it's always somebody else offering comfort with food. What do you do when somebody dies? Oftentimes, you ladies will get a basket together or a casserole together or bake a meatloaf and go and you provide to give the family just a little bit of comfort. It's not a huge relief, but it's just enough to know that somebody cares. Amen. And to warm their belly, the comfort of food. Genesis 37, since we're in the book of Genesis, let's just look at this first, and then we'll mention again a few others. Genesis 37 and verse 35, Jacob is saddened over the disappearance, if you will, of Joseph, not understanding as they brought the coat to him. He sees the blood on the coat in verse 34 of Genesis 35, of Genesis 37. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. I want to introduce you to this idea, and I'm going to use the word, I believe it's a proper word here, but a relationship that can bring comfort. Job, when he is in his worst day, he's seated there in the ash heap, and his three friends, and they were Job's friends, and they came, and the Bible says of this, they came to comfort Job. That's why they were there. Job later on tells us that miserable comforters are ye all. They weren't the best comforters as friends. They probably should have left a meatloaf and disappeared, but they didn't. And they were miserable comforters. That's why they came to Job. That's why the sons and daughters of Jacob have surrounded him. They're trying to provide a comfort. His son is gone. His son, he believes, taken by wild animals and killed. And so he needs comfort. And so relationships, personal relationships, family can provide a little bit of comfort in that. David, again, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Samuel chapter 12, David goes into his wife after the death of their son, and he goes into his wife to comfort her. And the Bible says, in comforting her, he lay with her. And of course, through that relationship, Solomon was born, but it was a comfort that only a husband could provide to a wife. There was a comfort in that relationship. And again, there's only a comfort that only a man can give to his husband. There's sometimes that a wife just needs the comfort of a husband. There's times a husband, by the way, just needs a comfort of his wife. And God uses that marriage relationship, again, for the lack of a better word, uses that marriage relationship to provide comfort. Ruth, when she's laid at the feet of Boaz, and Boaz first speaks to her, let's turn to that one, actually. Let's go to Ruth chapter 2 and look at that. He speaks to her concerning several things, concerning the gleaning and concerning the fields. And I'll start in verse 11 and read this. And I think this is a great picture of comfort here. And Boaz answered, we're in Ruth 2:11, and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity. We're in Ruth, aren't we? I should have known that's a hard one. Amen. Some are still turning. That's all right. Ruth and Nehemiah. Amen. Sword drills, always tough on people. Verse 11. Let me start over. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done to thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. There is a picture there. I'm not going to get into the picture. It is there. But literally, in the sense she's speaking, the words you've spoken to me have provided me with comfort. Boaz, what you've done for me has provided me with comfort. This is something that has touched my heart. This is something that has filled my heart with comfort. Those kind words, I want you to notice that. Those kind words that he spake were a comfort to the handmaid Ruth. David, in 1 Chronicles 19, David tries to send comfort to Hanun, the son of Nahash. Why? Because he had shown kindness to David when David needed kindness. And he tried to send comfort to him. Of course, those of you that know the story, the men were sent back. Their robes were cut off to the buttocks. They were shamed before all Israel. And David no longer provided them with comfort. But his attempt was to provide them comfort because a man had shown him kindness. And he was trying to recompense that kindness and send a comfort to them. Let me go on just a little bit here. Go to Job 42, if you would, please. And I've talked about the relationship. I've talked about the food that brings comfort. Job 42, there are physical things that can provide relief and can provide comfort for us. And gifts can pervert the mind, pervert the thinking, but at the same time, gifts also can provide a comfort. In Job 42 and verse 11, God has turned the captivity of Job. And we see in verse 11, there came unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all they that have been of his acquaintance before, basically all those that have forsook him. And they came to Job and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. In addition to just sitting with Job and bemoaning what the Lord had brought upon him, each man also brought him a piece of gold and then brought him one earring of gold. God was beginning to restore Job beyond what he had ever been. But they came to provide him comfort. Again, it's a personal relationship. These were acquaintances that knew Job. When he was in his worst calamitous days, they weren't around. But and when God turned his captivity, then they began to provide comfort again to Job. And we thank the Lord for that. Job said this, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He said in Job 7, verse 13, he said, my bed shall comfort me. Amen and amen. Talk about physical things that can provide comfort. Man told me years ago, he said there's three things, and he was a very large man. Can I say fat man without offending people? He was a very fat man.
Just say fluffy.
And no, he was much more than fluffy. He was a retired Marine, Randy. You don't call retired Marines fluffy. And he was about 6'4", 400 pounds, and he said, Brother Tim, he said, let me just tell you this. He said, always take care of your feet, your back, and your backside. And I said, okay, that's pretty good, Jim, but why? He said, get the best shoes you can afford, get the best car that you can afford. He said, because it's going to have a better seat in it. And he said, get the best mattress you can afford. Well, I have one of the three. Amen. When I was still working, right before I went into evangelism, unbeknownst to me, I went ahead and I went and got the best mattress that I could afford. Why? Because I like to sleep in my bed. I don't like to toss and turn. I don't like to wake up with back pain. Job said, my bed is a comfort to me. Amen. Those teenagers that are in here, your bed is a comfort probably too much to you or too long for you. Amen. But it's a comfort. Why? It's a place that is mine. It's a private place. By the way, my wife and I are one flesh. It's a private place that's ours. Nobody comes in there without an invitation. And just to let you know, there's only one person that comes by invitation. Amen. And she's 18 months old. And she gets invited. People are so perverse today, you got to clarify things because people's right. Minds run amok.
Yeah,
so we see relationships that can bring comfort. We see things that can bring comfort, items that can bring comfort. We see that food brings comfort. But then I want to just touch on this briefly. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Now, I hate to spiritualize our good message so far, but the rod and the staff aren't what we want to think of as comfort. I believe, and if you disagree, that's fine. You can take it up with me. But I believe the rod is a picture of protection. The rod is a literal protection. That's a comfort. That shepherd carrying that rod is a comfort to the sheep. Why? Because he knows in the dark hour when the wolf comes and tries to come in and tear up the sheep, he knows that the shepherd's carrying that rod. That rod is a rod of correction. That rod is a rod of defense, if you will. That staff also comforts. Why? You see, the rod, as we know it, for us sheep, is because we get out of line. It's for us. The rod can be used to ward off defense, but I think more of the staff is probably more to ward off. And then the staff also is used to help protect the sheep, to keep the sheep. Whereas the rod is an instrument of cruelty in the hands of a holy God to keep us in line, to keep us protected, to keep us safe, to keep us where we need to be. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Why? Because the rod and the staff provide comfort. It's hard to understand in most people's thinking because of the way that they've been trained and taught. It's hard to understand how a rod of correction can provide comfort for a child. But a child needs that stability. A child needs to know those boundaries. A child needs to understand the do's and the don'ts and the I can'ts and the I cans. And they need to have a little bit of liberty in that. But you define those boundaries and you define it with the rod of correction. It's a comfort to a child. You find happy children when you find disciplined children. You find happy children when you find children that have the rod has established boundaries in their lives, put discipline in their life. You'll find them to be happy. Why? Because happy is the man whom God correcteth, and that is the great example for us. There's a comfort that comes from the rod and comes from the staff in the hand of the shepherd. Psalm 71, if you'll turn there with me. I've talked about the physical things. I've talked about the protective things. And, of course, I've talked about the food. But in Psalm 71... and verse 21, and I'll go through these quickly. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. The Lord is our comfort. And he said, thou wilt comfort me on every side. Secondly, I want you to go to Psalm 86 with me. This was my prayer today. And I ask the Lord, according to his mercies, to hear this prayer. In Psalm 86 and verse 17, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. The Lord is my helper. The Lord hath hope in me. And the Lord, and by the way, I'm not going to mix up the linguistics there, but the Lord has comforted me. He's lifted me up. He's established me. He's given me that rest. He's given me that correction that I can be comforted. Thirdly, Psalm 94. In verse 19, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. The comfort of the Lord is a delight to our soul. That he would comfort us in our darkest hour, in the worst storm as we spoke of last night, in the hardest trial we've ever gone through. The Lord is our comfort. And he comforts us on every side. In the worst of times, the Lord is our comfort. And he's still comforting, just like he did for David, just like he's done for others. He's still comforting today. Psalm 119. Verse 49 and verse 50. And here is the comfort the Lord gives. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. This is my comfort. In my affliction, the word of God is my comfort. Why? Because when I was dead, when I was lifeless, when I was without hope, the Lord quickened me. The Lord gave me life. And that's a comfort to my soul. To remember back and to look back what God did for me brings comfort to me. He's not just comforting over things today. He's comforting me still over things of yesterday. He's comforting me the things of the past, the things that I have done, the things that I've been. He is still providing that comfort when he quickened me. And by the way, if the Lord doesn't comfort you when he quickens you, it doesn't comfort you for what you've been and what you've done, you'd be pretty miserable the rest of your life. The Lord gives that comfort when he quickens us. He gives us some relief from the agony that is us. Isaiah 49, I'll just look at two places, the Psalms and Isaiah in the Old Testament as far as the Lord's comfort. I realize a lot of this here in context will be the children of Israel, but I want you to just see the precepts behind the comfort. Isaiah 49 and verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. So, Isaiah 51, if you'll turn over there, Isaiah 51 and verse 12. The Lord is speaking. Let me start in verse 11 just because it's a great verse. But therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain their gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that stretcheth forth the heavens, or stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Where is the fury of the oppressor when the comfort of God has come to us? When the Lord has comforted his people? Where is the affliction? Where is the fury of the oppressor? God has given comfort beyond explanation, beyond our minds, beyond understanding. He comforts his people. And the fear of the oppressor will cease in the comfort of the Lord. Isaiah 52 and verse 9. Break forth into joy. And by the way, I want you to see a pattern here. Why there's not a lot of joy today with people. Why there's not a lot of rejoicing today with people is I just don't think they're comforted. He says to break into joy, break forth into joy, verse 9. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. A little bit further in Isaiah 57 and verse 17. Isaiah 57 and verse 17. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. Why? Because the Lord can comfort whom he will. The Lord will give comfort.
Amen.
Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's why he said, they that go forth, he that weepeth goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Why? Because the Lord honors those tears. The Lord honors that mourning. He will comfort those that mourn. He is the comforter. He is the great comforter. I just lay some groundwork, and I want to look at just a couple of places with you. Let's go first, if you will, to Leviticus 15. And just look at one passage in Leviticus 15. And I know this is going to seem out of sorts, but it made sense to me. Which means nothing to you, but it made sense to me. I'm going to start in verse 19 of Leviticus 15. And if a woman have an issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And whosoever toucheth anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And if it be on her bed or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean unto the even. And if any man lie with her at all and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, all the bed, and all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of her issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. What does she need? She needs comfort. You can't go and sit on her bed and relax with her, be friendly with her, spend time with her, touch the garments she's wearing, touch the place where she sits without you yourself being unclean. She needs comfort. There's no comfort. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, if you'll turn there. Let's just read one verse there. Ecclesiastes 4 and 1. Again, here we see the oppressor. We see the power of the oppressor. And he says, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed. And they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power. But they had no comforter. On the side of the oppressor is power, but there's no comfort. The woman's issue has gone beyond the time, and there's no comfort. It's gone beyond her days of her uncleanness, and now it's gone to where no one wants to see her, no one wants to touch her, no one wants to be with her, but there's no comfort. Why? Because the oppressor has the power. There's no one to give her relief. There's no one to cook a meal. There's no one to have kind words. There's no one to put their arms around her and just give her a little bit of solace. There's no one even to sit with her as they sat with Job. For if you sit with her, you'll be unclean. Nobody wants to be unclean. But there's no comforter. Ecclesiastes, the book of Lamentations, if you'll turn there with me, I'll give you a few moments on Lamentations as well. But we see her in the book of Lamentations in chapter 1. And we see that there's no comfort. We see that there's no relief. And I know the typology, I know the spiritual picture that's being painted here, but I want you to look at the woman that has no comfort. In verse 2, she weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. And I understand he's speaking here of the great city. And I understand the spiritual look at what we're speaking of here. But I want you to look a little bit through that and understand he's speaking of her as he speaks of a woman that has no comfort. She's weeping in the night. She has friends that have turned their back on her. All her lovers just count her as nothing. She has no comfort on any hand. No one's bringing a meal. No one's giving kind words. No one's showing themselves friendly. No one is going to sit with her. Everybody that's ever come to her has just used her, cast her aside. Verse 9 of Lamentations chapter 1. Her filthiness is in her skirts. Why? Because she's unclean. She remembereth not her last end, therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. Verse 16. For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. When Isaiah wrote of the comforter, he's writing of this comfort. He's writing the relief of this comfort. But here I want you to see the picture of this woman who has no relief. Her eye runs with tears. There's no relief for soul. That he that could relieve me, provide comfort for me, is far from me, the Bible says. In verse 17, Zion spreadeth forth her hands, and there is none to comfort her. That great city has no comfort. The Lord hath commanded concerning Jacob that his adversary should be round about him. Jerusalem is as a menstruous woman among them. She's unclean. She can't be touched. No one wants to provide comfort. Verse 21, they have heard that I sigh. There is none to comfort me. All mine enemies have heard of my trouble. They are glad that thou hast done it. Thou wilt bring the day that thou hast called, and they shall be like unto me. Again, there is none to comfort me. In context, of course, he's speaking of Jerusalem. He's speaking of that great city of God. He calls her a menstruous woman. She's unclean. She's unfit. There's no comfort. There's no rest. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9 first. You all know the story well here. I'm going to look at just a couple of words in verse 20. I'll start reading just a couple of verses and look at just one comment. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may touch but his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Unclean, filthy, wretched. There's a lot of things Jesus could have said to her. There's a lot of words he could have chose to speak to her. But the first thing he said, Be of good comfort. There's relief. There's help. You've been shunned. You've been isolated. You've been cursed. The relief is here. Thy faith has made thee whole. Be of good comfort. Amen. The Comforter has come. The Comforter that comforts your hearts. The Comforter that gives you comfort on every side. The Comforter that looks upon your affliction, and his rod and his staff will comfort you, has come to you and has given you comfort. He's given you relief. He's given you rest. He's taken the affliction. He's taken the problem. It's gone. The issue is removed. Thy faith hath made thee whole. There is comfort in being made whole. And he has comforted her in her condition. And she's made whole. The second one I want you to look at is Mark chapter 10. A man, no doubt, the misery and the awfulness of being blind in Israel. But in verse 46 of Mark 10, they came out to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. And he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And again Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Blind man, be of good comfort. You're no longer stumbling. You're no longer in darkness. You're no longer walking through this world not knowing what's going on around you. Be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Two different times we see where Jesus is referenced as comfort when his faith makes whole. But then in Luke 16, there's the awfulness of hell and the reality of hell. In verse 25, Abraham said this, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, thou art tormented." The scripture draws a line for us and gives us a clear understanding the comforts of this world are temporal. You might have the comforts of this world. If you die without Christ, you'll be tormented with no comfort. Lazarus had not the goods of this world, but when he died, he was comforted. Why? He was in the bosom of Abraham. But he's also in a place of comfort, a place of rest, a place where the Lord himself could minister to his needs. It's eternal comfort. John chapter 14. In verse 25. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he said, will come unto us. Let me say this. The woman with the issue of blood, all those years, this misery, separation, angst, the affliction is so great upon her. Jesus simply said to her, be of good comfort. Be comforted. Here's some relief. The affliction's gone. You've been made whole. The burden is gone. The issue is gone. There is comfort in Christ. Why? We talk about relationships. He's a friend, just to get closer than a brother. We talked about the things that bring us comfort. One of those being food, but he is the bread of life. He'll give you comfort when you think there's no comfort available. He'll give you hope when you think there's no hope available. He'll give you rest when you think you'll never rest again.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't just happenstance. The woman with the issue of blood, when she heard that Jesus was coming, just simply said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment,
yes, sir.
I'll get relief.
Yep.
I'll find rest. Dale said the other night in his testimony, for the first time in many, many a year, possibly ever, he had a good night's rest when he'd been comforted.
Yes, sir. Thank the Lord for it.
Jesus Christ, that friend that seeth closer than a brother, will comfort. John 15, verse 26. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Comforter has come. There is relief. There is help. There is comfort. It is through Jesus Christ.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Acts 10:38. I'll close with this. Would you turn there, please? Acts 10:38. We start at verse 37. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, and after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Again, we see the oppressor, and he's overthrown by the Comforter. There is comfort from the oppressor. There is comfort from the affliction. There is comfort through Jesus Christ. There's not only comfort, but can I say this? There's power with God. There's power with God to change your life. There's power with God to change our lives. There's power with God through the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Well, thank you.
Page 49 in the place.